your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Friday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, August 7th, 2020. You know your boy Q here is with you, as I always am. You can always check me out on Twitter, like most of you do, at your boy Q254. Again, at your boy Q254. If you're looking for that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, it's 707-654-4693. Today's Locked On Raiders podcast is being brought to you by RockAuto.com, and I know a lot of Raider Nation goes to RockAuto.com. They got a great selection, super low prices, all the parts your car is ever going to need. Again, rockauto.com. Make sure you let them know that Locked On Raiders podcast, your boy Q, sent you. And I'll tell you more about them at the end of segment number one. But coming up on today's show in segment number three, man, I got a ton of feedback off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. A ton of feedback, more than I've had lately. And I guess that's because there's a lot of activity going on as far as the silver and black goes. There's a lot of, moving and shaking. Not stuff on the field, but still, players are at the facilities and, coaches are talking, players are talking. So there's more stuff to talk about at this time. So getting a lot of feedback off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. So I'm going to get to as many calls and texts as I can. And that's coming up in segment number three. Segment number two, I said coaches and players are starting to talk. Well, John Gruden had another press conference on Thursday, and it was about 12 to 15 minutes long. I have some of my takeaways. There's a couple questions that I really wanted in particular to get in, and I'm not able to get onto that call. I am, but I'm on my other radio show on ESPN Central Texas when they have those media sessions. So the good thing is Scott Gulbranson, who I do Silver and Black Today with on Raider Nation Radio 920, I sent him a couple questions. I was like, you got to get this one in for sure, and he did. So there's a couple questions that I specifically wanted to hear from John Gruden about. I'm going to play those back for you in segment number two and talk about them. Just a couple, like a handful of quotes that he had on Thursday's press conference. So you'll hear that coming up in segment number two. And of course, you could always hear the whole press conference if you want to hear everything, every bit of it. You could always go check it out on Raiders.com. You could check it out on the mobile app. It's all there. Just go ahead and look up John Gruden's press conference from August 6th. Here in segment number one, I want to give you the news and the notes of the day, as I always do. And unfortunately, the biggest news or note that came out of Thursday is some news that I didn't want to have to bring to the table. And I knew at some point I was going to have to bring it to the table. It's inevitable. It's something that you knew was going to happen. But a player from the Raiders tested positive for COVID-19, is now on the reserve COVID-19 list. And it's a player that has a big time name. And that's Mad Max Crosby, second year defensive end. He is on the reserve COVID-19 list. And according to Vincent Bonsignor, who follows the Silver and Black Today show within the huddle on Raider Nation Radio 920, he confirmed that he did test positive for COVID-19. It wasn't one of those where he just came into contact with someone else who tested positive for it, but it was the fact that he absolutely did test positive for it. So he could miss up, 10 to 14 days, depending on the severity of it. And one, you just want to hope that he's healthy, because this thing, you don't know how it attacks anybody. It could be different for every single person. You don't know what kind of any issues Max Crosby may have in the past. You never know what a guy is dealing with, so you don't really know how this is impacting him, but you want to hope the best for him. You want him to bounce back as soon as possible, but it was a positive COVID-19 test for Mad Max Crosby. He's going to miss some time, and again, very unfortunate, but it is the inevitable. There's going to be other guys that test positive. Devontae Booker was already one guy that was on the COVID-19 list, and I know his name is not as big as Max Crosby, but he was on the list, and he bounced back pretty pretty quickly. Again, Max Crosby, who tested positive, is going to be out a little bit longer. Also, Rod Smith, the running back, he's also on the COVID-19 list. So two guys go down on Thursday. Rod Smith's name obviously is not as big as Max Crosby, but still, you never, ever know. And so my point of the whole thing is, I've been talking about it for a while, depth is going to be so stinking important in this season, just because a guy can go down. Max Crosby could go down at any time. Cleve Farrell could go down at any time. You know, Corey Littleton could go down at any time. Nick Kukowski, I mean, this doesn't discriminate. I put it out on Twitter multiple times. COVID-19 does not discriminate. I actually had a, it was crazy, man. When I put that out on Twitter, I had a college sports reporter who follows me on Twitter, and he's like a credentialed media member, responded and said, he'll be fine. It's not a death sentence. And I'm like, dang. I mean, I'm not saying it's a death sentence, but at the same time, you know, you don't know how this dude's body's gonna react to that. And I wasn't even talking about Max Crosby. I was actually talking about Eagles head coach Doug Peterson when it was announced that he was on the COVID-19 list, but I couldn't believe that dude was so like cold-hearted and was like, well, it's not a death sentence. He'll be fine. Like, okay, well, maybe he won't. Maybe he will. Maybe you're right. But just to put it out there like that, I thought that was kind of cold-hearted. So going back to my point, this thing does not discriminate. Josh Jacobs could go down. Any player on the Raiders could go down at any time with COVID-19. And I'm not just talking in training camp. I'm talking about throughout the regular season as well. So, again, depth is going to be so important. And if you just want to look and concentrate on the defensive line, another reason why I'd like to bring in a guy like Jadeveon Clowney and think that he should be added to the Raiders' defensive line because, well, what if Max Crosby were to miss 2 weeks during the regular season? What if Carl Nassib, what if he were to miss 2 weeks during the regular season? What if, you know, anybody, Cleve Farrell, any of these guys, you just don't know. The more bodies you have, the better. The more quality talent you have, the better. I don't care. If they have a deep rotation, even better. You know what I mean? But this year, that is going to be so mandatory. You got to get as much talent and get as deep as you can in positions of need and positions that you need to be really talented at, which are defensive line, as possible. So I'm still not closing the door on a Jadeveon Clowney signing. I think that they need to try to make that happen, but I know that they're being patient and not going to bow down to him and just give him as much money as he wants. But at some point, he's either going to make a decision like, all right, I'm going to play or I'm not going to play. Either I'm going to go to Tennessee or I'm going to go to Vegas. I mean, one of the two. I don't know what he's going to do. Both spots are nice spots for him, I think. Both places, state income tax is the same. They don't exist. You know, I think both teams are on the come up. So I think he's picking a good place either way. I still lean Tennessee, but I think that the Raiders would and should think about it long and hard about possibly bringing him in because you just never know and you can never have enough pass rushers as the 49ers showed you in 2019. Another piece of news, and it's not as severe as Max Crosby coming down on the COVID-19 list, but a former Rams linebacker, Bryce Hager, he's actually signing with the Raiders and is pending his physical. He's a special team dude, but he will get on the field defensively if need be, but he'll really, you know, butter his bread on the defensive side of the ball, I mean on the special team side of the ball. The thing about Bryce Hager, why I like him, he was just in the Super Bowl a couple years ago with the Rams, but he's a former Baylor guy. He was a Baylor linebacker. He was there in the Art Briles time, and, you know, he's actually made it to the NFL and stuck around for a while by working really hard. And I don't think that the Raiders could have enough guys on their squad that work really hard. Now, I don't know if Bryce Hager's a guy that would stick around the roster very long. He might be there just, you know, to take some reps from some other guys just to keep them fresh. Who knows? But I do know one thing about Bryce Hager is he's going to continue to work hard and take advantage of every opportunity, or at least try to take advantage of every single opportunity he gets to do anything, get a rep in. He's going to bust his tail. So it might be a guy that, you know, the Raiders look at and say, you know what, let's go ahead and hold on to him for depth. Again, he's going to butter his bread by way of special teams, but if need be, if in case of emergency break glass, he can get onto the field and be linebacker as well. And my final little nugget for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast is actually just a suggestion for you, and that is to go check out playerstribune.com and see what second-year safety Jonathan Abram put together and put out on Thursday. It's a really, really good piece. It's called For Everybody Setting That 5 a.m. Alarm, and it really doesn't have anything to do with football, doesn't have anything to do with him as far as, you know, what he plans on doing with the Raiders, how he plans on getting back on the field and making an impact. His piece, again, For Everybody Setting That 5 a.m. Alarm, is about his mom and what his mom did and the sacrifices she made throughout her life. And I'll tell you right now, it's not super long, but it is a really, really good piece. It lets you know how humble he is. It lets you know how appreciative he is, how much he really loves the fact that his mom put it all on the line for him. And I think that not enough times these kind of messages are put out there. I mean, really, this is a really, really good piece. I suggest everybody read it. Get a little bit of backstory on Jonathan Abram and, you know, the way he grew up and the way his mom made sure she took care of him and his brother. And again, I think that you'll really, really appreciate it. So go check it out. PlayersTribune.com, a piece out there by Jonathan Abram called "For Everybody Setting That 5 a.m. Alarm." Really, really good. Salute to all the mothers out there that are setting that 5 a.m. alarm, out there busting their tail, you know, to take care of their family, take care of their kids, and make sure that they have everything that they need. I know my mom did that. I know my wife did that. Sometimes it's nice just to get that recognition. So shout out to Jonathan Abram for that good piece on PlayersTribune.com. Again, it's called "For Everybody Setting That 5 a.m. Alarm." Go check that out. And I do think that you will appreciate that. So that's what I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day. Coming up in segment number two, John Gruden, he actually talked to the media on Thursday, and I got a couple quotes that I want to play for you, and I want to talk about it. Before I get into that, though, I want to talk about my good friends at rockauto.com and let you know, one, it's a family business. It's just like the Raiders, a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. What's the website, you ask? rockauto.com. You can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, and they got everything. And I mean everything. Engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, carpet, whatever you need. If you got a car that you drive to work every single day, or maybe you got a fancy car that you roll out of the garage on Sunday when you know, you're on the block trying to get the ladies, it's all good. Anything you need, they got. It's a few easy clicks away, and they'll deliver it directly to your door. RockAuto.com. Catalog is unique and super easy to navigate. You'll see all the parts available for your car. You choose the brands, specifications, and most importantly, the prices you prefer. That's right, the prices. The prices at RockAuto.com are super low, the same for professionals as do-it-yourselfers. So there's no need to spend up to twice as much for the same parts when you can get them just like that for the same price at rockauto.com. So go check it out right now. While you're there, there's a little box there that says, "How'd you hear about us?" Make sure you write "Locked On Raiders Podcast" with your boy Q, and they'll know that I sent you there. All right, super great selection, super low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Segment number two is on the way.
You're Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Friday, August 7th, 2020, trying to close the week out strong. And coming up in this segment, what I want to do is break down John Gruden's press conference that he had on Thursday. He met with the media about 12 to 15 minutes. I was not on the call. My co-host, Scott Goldbranson, he was on the call. I was on doing my regular show from ESPN Central Texas. And I'll tell you, man, it's a busy day doing both shows, juggling that, doing the podcast and everything. Very busy day. It's a lot of fun being busy. Busy's good, but sometimes I can't be available for press conferences. But the good thing is Scott's got my back. So I shot him a couple questions that I was like, man, you got to ask John Gruden this question. You got to ask him this question. So he was able to do that. He was able to get at least one really good question in that I've been wondering, that's been on my mind for a while. But I got a handful of little quotes from Gruden that I want to get to and I want to speak on real quick. And I'm not necessarily going to do them in the order that they were asked, but just kind of the order that I think is really important. So I'm going to start off with the question that I told Scott he has to ask. And that's something that we've been talking about quite a bit. I even did a whole podcast on it. And it has to do with the second half and third quarter scoring in particular. And John Gruden, he came out the last time he had a press conference, was talking about the red zone offense, and that's cool. But I was like, man, how come someone didn't double down and say, okay, well, look, what about the third quarter where you only scored five times all season long? And what's going on with the halftime adjustments? Like, that's the kind of question I'd like to ask and phrase it exactly like that. Now, Scott didn't necessarily ask it 100% like that, and John Gruden kind of got away from the exact question, but Scott, to his credit, did ask him about second half scoring, the lack of scoring, the adjustments, what's going on with that, and he said, what has the team identified as the issues in the second half, and in particular the third quarter, as far as the scoring problems? And here's what John Gruden had to say.
Yeah, we've identified our goal line offense, our very tight red zone offense, is a priority. That's number one. We need more opportunities with the ball. I think we're last in the NFL in possessions. We need more three and outs. We need our defense to get us the ball back more often. We're not getting enough possessions. That would help. But our very tight red zone offense needs a lot of work. And that's what we're going to strive to get better at once we get a chance to put the pads on. We're stuffed inside the 1 yard line half a dozen times. That's ridiculous and almost unprecedented in Raider history.
So there's John Gruden right there talking about the struggles on offense. And you see he went straight to the red zone, and that's fine and dandy. And he's not wrong about getting more possessions, the defense getting more three and outs, creating turnovers, giving them a short field. He's not wrong about any of that. But what he did not say is, hey, at halftime, I need to make better adjustments. And at that point or some point, I would like to hear that from John Gruden. I've got to make better adjustments. And I know this past year, 2019, he didn't make very good adjustments at halftime. I know in 2018, didn't make very good adjustments at halftime. So you can be better in the red zone, but look, you scored 5 times in 16 games in the third quarter in 2019. Be damned if the defense doesn't get three and outs, and be damned if the defense isn't creating turnovers. You have got at least one possession every third quarter of every game that you played in, and you should be doing better than scoring only 5 times. I mean, you got to let that sink in real quick. So John Gruden's got to look into the mirror, and this is where I want to be very critical on John Gruden, because he gets a lot of credit, but he doesn't get a lot of flack all the time. And this is one area in particular that I'm very critical of John Gruden. He needs to make better adjustments at halftime. He needs to be able to come out with the offense that the Raiders normally have on their first couple drives in the first quarter. I mean, if you go back and look at the scoring and the breakdown of the scoring, you see what they did in the third quarter and you see what they did in the fourth quarter. It's like night and day. But most of the time in the fourth quarter, they're trying to make a comeback, you know, and that's unfortunate. You know, it's not the business. It's not what they want to do. So he's got to be able to come out of that locker room. And really, if you get that ball to start the third quarter, if you are the first team to possess the ball in the third quarter, it's like setting the tone, man. You've got to go down that field and you've got to put some points on the board. That's when you know that you're onto something. You've got to be able to do that. So in those games in particular, where he's coming out of the locker room and receiving the ball, the kickoff, you've got to, I don't care if you got to script it or whatever you got to do, you've got to be able to navigate your team down the field and score some points. It's got to happen. So that was the question that I really, really wanted to hear the answer to. And he somewhat answered it, and then he somewhat danced around it as well. So it is what it is. It's something that I will not hesitate to ask again or ask continuously throughout the offseason and throughout the regular season if it continues to be a struggle. So another question that John Gruden was asked is what he's been seeing from the young guys. You know, they didn't have any offseason, they didn't have any OTAs, they didn't have any rookie mini camps. They're just now starting to get out there, and this is still only walkthroughs, but they're just now getting out there, getting around the guys. So what is he seeing from the young group of dudes?
Well, they're learning the system. You know, again, this is a walkthrough. We're having a lot of reps, a lot of situations. We're putting in a lot of stuff every day to try to fast track their knowledge of our system on both sides of the ball. But so far, so good. But until you see bump and run coverage and you put pads on and you catch a crossing route with guys breathing down your neck, it's a tough evaluation, but so far we like what we see, but that's about it.
And that's all you can really do. I mean, these guys, you're not going to be able to judge what they could do. You're not going to be able to judge how good they are until they actually get action, until they get on the grass and they're competing against someone with a different jersey and a different helmet and a guy that's out there with bad intentions. And I don't mean being dirty with bad intentions. I mean bad intentions of defeating you. When you can see them do that, then that's when you know what's going on, and then you have a better idea of exactly what you have and what these guys have. So that's just about really the only answer he can give. Now, on to what he's been seeing in these walkthroughs. One question posed to John Gruden was, how pleased is he with the players' retention from the Zoom meetings they had in the offseason to the early practice field, even though, again, it's only walkthroughs?
Yeah, we're very impressed with that, and I don't want to say anything else other than they did their work. We have tried to bring in players that don't like football. They love it, and they don't study it because they have to. They study it because they want to. And I'm really impressed with what we're able to do communication-wise, execution-wise, even though it's a walkthrough. I'm very impressed with the retention and their ability to take new things out on the grass and execute it immediately. They like it, man. It's it's exciting and fun to come to work here.
And now I really wanted to play that one because, again, that goes back to the conversation we've had multiple times here on the podcast about culture and the fact that the culture of the Raiders is changing, and you can see it changing before your eyes. He's talking about guys that love to play football, not guys that just want to show up or not guys that are studying their playbook because they have to. They're studying their playbook because they want to. Not guys that are just saying, well, I got to go do my job, but guys that are saying, I love my job. And if I love my job, it's not really like working. It's just is what I do. You know, that's the difference in what the Raiders used to get in the back in the day where they just got players just that show up and, you know, get their check and do what they had to do, to guys that just love and live for the game of football. And that's a big difference. And you could tell when these guys love the game, it shows in the way that they play on the field, the way they perform each and every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whatever it is. So the next quote I got for you from John Gruden's press conference that he had on Thursday, and you can check out the whole thing on Raiders.com, or you can check it out on the official Raiders mobile app for your phone or wherever, YouTube, I think it's on there as well. About 12 to 15 minutes long. Just got a couple more quotes that I want you to hear, and it has to do with the defensive line. And Malik Collins is been a guy that I've been very, very high on. There's a reason he came over from the Dallas Cowboys, signed a one-year deal. He's got a lot to prove, but he's a guy that I think is going to make a difference, especially with the familiarity of Rod Marinelli. A guy I mentioned on the podcast about a week ago was Daniel Ross, and I said, watch out for him. He was a guy that the Cowboys really wanted to succeed, and he never did, but Rod Marinelli believed in him. So two guys in particular that have come over from Dallas are now members of the Raiders, Malik Collins and Daniel Ross. Here's John Gruden on what the team has in those two guys at the defensive tackle position.
Well, we think Collins has experience in our system. He's been a classic three technique. He has experience with the position coach that's working with him. He's officially about to enter the prime of his career, so he's got a lot of playing experience. He's got a lot of technical knowledge of what we want done. And I think I said it the last time we had a press thing here, he's the key to our defense. I think he's got a chance to be one of the better ones, and we're happy about that. Hankins is a guy nobody's talking about. Jonathan Hankins has really been a good player for us. He's in great shape, bought into the Marinelli factor. And Ross is another guy who has a history with Rod in Dallas, and he has the energy, and he has the versatility to not just be a run stuffer, but he can rush the passer. And he's in shape, and he's ready to go.
So there you go. More high praise from John Gruden on Malik Collins. There's a no-doubter in my mind, unless something crazy happens, he makes the team, and he's a starter, and he's an impact player. And they're expecting him to be an impact player. He just said he thinks that Malik Collins could be a key to their team, to their defense. That's big time right there. I didn't mention Jonathan Hankins, and he said nobody's mentioning Jonathan Hankins, but he's a pro's pro. He's a veteran. He's been doing his thing. There's a reason why the Raiders re-signed him. I mean, he's one of those guys that was first signed immediately just because you knew he was going to be solid. But you hear what he said about Daniel Ross right there. I'm not saying Ross makes the team, but you could tell by what he said, Ross has a really good chance of making the team, and they really expect him and want him to. He's got to get in. He's got to do what he's supposed to be doing. Again, when he was in Dallas, they wanted him to make the team as well, and he didn't get it done. He didn't perform up to what they wanted, but you heard John Gruden say he's got the energy, he's got the athletic ability, he's in shape, which is something that he wasn't in Dallas all the time. So now with Rod Marinelli again, he has an opportunity. He's got to go out there and earn it. It's not going to be given to him. He's got an opportunity to make it happen, but like I said, he's got to go out there and earn it. But I do believe he has a good shot, and I do believe his shot to make the roster is just as much as Arden Keyes, if not more. I'll just go ahead and leave that out there like that. And final clip I'd like to play for you for John Gruden's Thursday press conference with the media is his plans, or the team's plans, to use Cleve Farrell. Are they going to use him on the inside? Are they going to keep him in his natural position on the outside? Or are they going to do a little bit of both? Here he is, John Gruden on Cleve Farrell.
Well, we hope everybody has the versatility to go inside. I remember when I was in Green Bay when Reggie White said he found a guy, a candy bar, he wanted to take a big bite out of him. You know, if there was a weak link on their offensive line, Reggie White wanted to go after him. So we want all of our defensive linemen to have the versatility to play inside. If there's a weak link somewhere or there's a game that we want to try to exploit stunt-wise, we'd like everybody to have that versatility on third down, certainly. But We think Klee can bat some balls down. We think he can do a lot of things as a rusher inside and out eventually.
So there's John Gruden on everyone's plans. You know, he wants everybody to be versatile, which is something that's a staple of every Paul Gunther defense. They want a lot of versatility. But in particular with Klee Ferrell, who was the number 4 overall pick in 2019, a lot of folks want him to be specifically on the outside and just rush the passer. But it sounds like they're going to use him in multiple different ways, multiple different schemes, inside, outside. He's bulked up a lot. He's got a lot to prove. He's just going to be a football player, and I think Klee Ferrell is okay with that. I don't think he's worried about stats. He goes out there and gives the team what they need to do. You heard him talking about batting balls down. I mean, Klee Ferrell is just a guy who's going to get after and do what he's got to do and whatever the team asks him to do. The one thing I'll say Klee Ferrell needs to do in 2020 in a major way is stay on sides. How many times did he jump off sides on 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, give the team an automatic first down? And that was, I mean, the Raiders had a lot of bad discipline when it came to pre-snap penalties offensively and defensively, but Klee Ferrell really did jump the gun way too many times defensively in his rookie year. So that's something he's got to clean up. But I don't mind if they use him on the inside and outside, as long as he's built for that, as long as he's prepared for that, and as long as he can make an impact no matter where he lines up. So again, it goes back to the depth of the defensive line. If he does that, another reason why you might want to bring in a guy like Jadeveon Clowney, so you can have another dude on the outside, because that's where Jadeveon Clowney is going to line up. Have Clowney on one side, Crosby on another side, Ferrell on the inside. I mean, whatever. I don't care. Just line him up and have him get after the quarterback by any means necessary. You're going to have to get that pressure up the gut if you're going to disrupt a guy like a Patrick Mahomes. So that's all I got for you. If you want to go hear the whole John Gruden press conference, you can. Again, Raiders.com. You can find it on the official Raiders app, mobile app. It's on there as well. YouTube has it, and probably a few more outlets. But that was just a few clips that stood out to me from John Gruden's press conference on Thursday. Coming up in segment number 3, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to hear from you. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. First call today comes from Raider Jim in the Pacific Northwest. He's calling to talk about some numbers he found to talk about interior defensive line players and how that relates to their players' salaries. Here he is, Raider Jim in the Pacific Northwest.
Hey, Q. This is Raider Jim from the Pacific Northwest. I wanted to comment on a few things, Q, with you and Raider Nation. First, congratulations to you, Mr. Myers. So great that your fervor for Raider Nation will continue to thrive. Additionally, on 9:20 a.m. in Vegas with the Lotus Group on Silver and Black today. I mean, as one of your first listeners, Q, and a participant on this podcast in the past, it's just so good to witness. So once more, congratulations, Q. Second, I was looking at some stats on how it relates to some of the numbers out there on player salaries. ESPN Stats and Info recently ranked the best interior rush defensive linemen. No surprise, Aaron Donald of the Rams, Grady Jarrett of the Falcons, Chris Jones of the Chiefs are in the top 3 respectively. But coming in at number 4 on the ESPN rankings is newly signed Raider Malik Collins. So then I began to wonder, well, how that correlates to player salaries. According to Over the Cap, it's no surprise that Donald's salary is number 1 at $23 million, Jones is number 3 at $20 million, and Jared is number 5 at $18 million. Collins, on the other hand, comes in at a mere $6 million. Now that, Raider Nation, is a bargain based on that data. It's a great example of where Mayock and the front office are literally getting the biggest bang for the buck. Third, I'm surprised this wasn't mentioned on the podcast, but Raider Nation is so ensconced in history that I think it deserves mentioning. About a month ago, NBC Sports Uncovered, which is a podcast, they did a deep dive into the mysterious disappearance of Pro Bowl center and TCU alum Barrett Robbins. The Raiders love to have a dominant player at the center position to anchor its prowess on the O-line. I mean, Jim Otto, Don Mosbar, current Raider Rodney Hudson are great examples of that. However, there's also Barrett Robbins, and in the past, I've argued that the absence of Robbins in the Raiders' last Super Bowl appearance was probably the most significant factor in how they lost that game. This recent podcast gives you some additional compelling information and other factors such as the demeanor, coaching style, and game plan tactics of head coach Bill Callahan. Indeed, Tim Brown pulls no punches, so I would encourage your audience to check that out, and for me, it was quite revealing. This is Raider Jim from the Pacific Northwest. Raiders all day, every day.
Raider Jim, it's great to hear from you, my man, and you are absolutely right. You are one of the first callers. You and Tom back in the day, Tom was my guy. He was the very first caller, but you were definitely one of the new booties, one of the early new booties, and so definitely appreciate the support. You've been rocking with your boy for a long time. I really appreciate that. And, yeah, Collins, he's a player to get excited about, my man. He came over to the Silver and Black with defensive coordinator Rob Marinelli, and there's a reason why he came over with Rob Marinelli. They go together. They believe in each other, and I think that Marinelli is going to get the most out of him. As far as Robbins, yeah, I remember when that podcast came out about a month ago, but I just can't do it, man. For every reason you said, Barrett Robbins is a name that, one, I pray for because of all his issues and mental health that he's dealing with, and that sucks, and I don't want that on anybody, would never wish that on anybody, but, man, him disappearing to Tijuana in the middle of the night before the Super Bowl, I'll never forget. It just makes me sick to my stomach just even thinking about it right now. And really, funny story, when I lived in Cali and I was working at the grocery store, I was working in the meat department at Albertsons, he used to come into that grocery store all the times. And he would always be shopping. And I mean, it was a mammoth dude. And I'd always look up and say, oh, there goes Barrett Robbins. And then it all happened. And then when he actually went MIA right before the Super Bowl, oh, man, I don't think I ever saw him in the grocery store again. I was so angry. But yeah, either way. That's another story, but man, yeah, that just, oh man, like I said, pray for him because I know he's dealing with a lot, and it's just all bad. Next up is a text from Darkside Reg. What up, Q? What up, Nation? Darkside Reg at the OC. Just wanted to chime in and say that Derek Carr went from church boy to a car thief in that interview. Love that his whole demeanor changed and he talked with a little dog in his voice. I've always been in the middle with Carr, but I'll defend him till the day he's no longer done in the silver and black. I think him being in the offense for the third time is going to be the key to the playoffs. My hot take on Derek Carr. He gets 4,300 yards, 31 TDs, and 10 interceptions, and some MVP votes. Carr has the weapons to do it, but hopefully the defense can get him some more touches because I think that will also be important to next year as well. Love the work you're doing, Q. Love that I can hear you now on Silver and Black today and hear you on the podcast. My football coach always preach, hard work pays off, and your hard work is showing, brother. Commitment to excellence. Keep it coming, Raider Nation. Thank you, Darkside Reg. I definitely appreciate that. And, yeah, I liked what Derek Carr had to say. And really, and as I pointed out the other day, I really like what he had to say about his teammates. And when he was talking about disrespect, but he was bringing up his teammates' name as well, I think that kind of gets lost in the shuffle. And I think that was one of the most important parts of the whole conversation. So, yeah, I hope that he feels disrespected. I hope he feels like he's got to go out there and prove a point. And the team needs to go out there and prove a point because Raider Nation got to have some wins. You know, you want people to stop talking and stop, you know, giving your team the cold shoulder and disrespecting them. You ultimately have to win games or else it's just not going to happen. And he said that himself in that press conference. Thank you so much for that text. I appreciate you. Next up, Raider Lifer. He's calling in to talk about Arden Key and what he believes he could bring to the table for the Silver and Black and how he might be wrong about his initial thoughts on him. Here he is, Raider Lifer.
What's up, Q? This is A-Train, or Raider Lifer, either one. So there was a caller a while back asked about Arden Key, and I believe PJ Hall. I said neither one of them were going to make the squad. We all know PJ Hall didn't pass his physicals to the Vikings. Raiders didn't want him. He's lazy. You know, okay. We know that. End of story. But I did hear that Arden Key is, now 250 pounds. I don't know what he was last year, but he hasn't been cut yet. And like I said, I am one of the few that has the Key jersey that I bought immediately after he was drafted. And I didn't think he was going to make it. But I was calling to say that I think I might have been wrong because I think he did put on a little bit of weight. And, you know, if he can get in that rotation and use his speed off the edge because he does have that speed, if Max can teach him to bend a little bit and just get there half a second faster, you know, he could have had 5 to 7 sacks last year. He was that close, but, you know, he had a couple missed tackles too, but that close doesn't quite cut it. So that caller that asked about Arden Key, he might make it, man, and I hope he does because I always liked that kid, but we all knew PJ Hall wasn't going to make it. Anyway, I was just going to say I think I was wrong on that when I didn't expect Key to put on weight, but I think he might be trying and putting in work. So I just wanted to say I was probably wrong on that one, well, at least halfway wrong. But congrats on your new show. I listen to it every day. As soon as I get off work, I'm always on. the Raiders, Raiders radio station and whatnot. And, it's constant, man. 24/7 and I love it. So keep it up, man. I appreciate you. Tell Scott I said what's up and, take it easy. Bye, brother.
There he is. Raider Lifer, AKA A-Train. Appreciate the call, my man. And look, he coulda, he shoulda, has been the story of Arden Key the last couple seasons, right? I mean, how many times have we said that? He coulda, he shoulda, but he didn't. And look, he sounds like he's doing the right thing. He had that really good piece with Tashawn Reed from The Athletic that was out there talking about how he's going to do things his way. He's motivated. He wants to show everybody that you don't need Jadeveon Clowney. So he's motivated to get it done. I'm rooting for him. I hope he does well. I want everyone that's rocking the silver and black. I want a PJ Hall to do well, but it just didn't shake out. I don't know if it's going to shake out for Arden Key. I think he's on the hot seat right now. I think he's got a lot to prove. And again, this is the same thing I said about PJ Hall months ago. Months ago, I said I thought PJ Hall was on the outside looking in. I caught a lot of hell for it. A lot of folks said, oh, Q, you're wrong. Well, look, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn. PJ Hall didn't even get into training camp. You know what I mean? So, and I'm not saying Arden Key is going to do that. But again, something I always say, your best ability is availability. And there's not enough times when Arden Key has been available. Each time, each season, he ends the season on IR. He's just not healthy. So, and he doesn't finish. He misses too many tackles, misses too many sacks. That game against Houston, I always go back to that. He gets that sack on Deshaun Watson. The Raiders win that game. All of a sudden, they're sitting at 8-8 over the season. I mean, there's just moments like that. Key moments, he doesn't come down with the play or come down with the sack or come away with the key play. And I don't mean to use a play on his last name, Key, but that's just what it is. So, thank you so much for that call. We will see. He's got a lot of work to do. Do I think he could do it? Absolutely. But he's got to go out there and do it. So thank you again. Next up is a text from Diego from the 916 representing Sacramento one time. Hey, Q, it's Diego from the 916 in Sacramento. Just want to say thanks for all the energy you bring to Raider Nation Radio 920. Also want to see if you guys could try to bring on James Jones and interview him on the Raiders radio station. He's always up to talk some Raiders football and, in my opinion, would be a great guest on the show. Anyway, I'm excited for Lynn Bowden Jr. to be used in the Wildcat role he thrived in at Kentucky. Raider Nation for life. I'm out. Again, that's from Diego from the 916 representing Sacramento one time. And yeah, thank you for the compliments on the show. It's been a blast. Love it. I actually reached out to Fallon Smith, who does the podcast with James Jones, just to see if maybe we can get him on Raiders Radio, but we'll see. I don't know. I don't have a direct contact with James Jones. I'll try to get a hold of him, but I think you're right. He would be a great guest on the show, so I'll work on that. Also, as far as Lynn Bowden Jr. goes, he could be that joker that John Gruden's been talking about. You know, use him in multiple different roles. Wildcat, receiver, running back. I mean, just get him the ball and put it in his hands and let him go. I like that the Raiders have multiple weapons that could do multiple things, and I think it's going to be fun. From Henry Ruggs and his speed, Lynn Bowden Jr. and his versatility, Hunter Renfrow and the fact that he could just find holes in the defense, Darren Waller with his size and speed for a big guy who's a tight end but really in a wide receiver's body. Brian Edwards, he's got the playmaking ability, go up and get the ball. Tyrell Williams stretching the field. I mean, there's a lot of things to like. They just got to get out there and make it happen. So thank you so much for that text. I appreciate you. One more call for today from Raider Boone. He's calling in quickly to speak on Ricky's in San Leandro, which I said on Thursday is the Mecca. Here he is, Raider Boone.
Q, Raider Boone. Great show as always. Thanks for paying tribute to Ricky's. We went to a game. The Raiders won. We rode down to Ricky's. We're watching the game at the bar, and they show me and my wife on the TV, and a bunch of people turn around and look at us and go, that's you. I said, yeah, and that could be you, too, if you go to a game. Every Raider fan should go to at least one Raider game in their life. Ricky's is a great guy. He treats you like a friend. God bless him. Thanks, Q.
Raider Boone, thank you so much for that call. And yeah, man, Ricky's is near and dear to my heart. I definitely hope that spot finds a way to make it out this mess, keep their doors open. That's a place that everybody, every Raider fan should always go into and cross those doors at least once, you know. And the ownership has always treated anyone who walks through those doors as family. They've been really, really great. They've been, like I said, a Mecca for many, many, many years, longer than I've been alive. And I just hope that they find a way to get out the struggle. And I forgot to mention them on Thursday on Raider Nation Radio 920. I'm going to try my best. I'm going to write a note for myself right now to mention it sometime in the show to later on today. Want to make sure I mention them and just, you know, hey, shout them out, because a lot of Raider Nation knows exactly who I'm talking about when I say Rickies. That's all I really got to say. Shout out to Rickies, and everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about. So that's going to do it for today's show. Sorry if I didn't get to your call. Riverview Raider, I got you. Eric in the 707, I got you. T3 Raider Facts, I see you. I mean, I got all these Jordan in Oregon. I know you got your call in there. There's a lot of calls I just weren't able to get to today, but don't worry. I'll be able to get to them at some point. We're going to make it happen, Raider Nation. It's early August, so we got plenty of time and before, you know, the first game of the season. But we're having a lot of fun both here on the Locked On Raiders podcast and, of course, Raider Nation Radio 920. If you're looking for the phone number for that, you want to call the studio, call the show one day, 702-365-9200. And you don't have to just call on the Silver and Black Today show. You can call in the morning with Clay and Pritch. You can call with JT the Brick. You can call with myself and Scott or Vinny Bonsignor, who follows us. It don't matter. Hey, man, support the station, support the podcast, support everything we're doing, because we're doing it all for Raider Nation. So have a great weekend. Stay safe. Love your family. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. Do what you got to do. Social distance. Let's get through this thing. And as always, Raider Nation, most importantly, just win, baby.